This presentation on the resurrection by Dr. Paul Henneberry of Telus Theological Ministries is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. It is our prayer that this presentation will deepen your understanding of the Bible, resulting in a closer walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time with Dr. Henneberry.
Installment of this short series on resurrection, and what I want to do in this short segment is talk about the relationship between the resurrected Christ and his second coming in glory and in power to this earth, and the transformation that will bring about of this physical world. It's going to be a glorious and wonderful transformation. And it's spoken about in many places in the Bible, particularly under the heading of, or the auspices of, the golden Davidic messianic kingdom in the Old Testament. It talks about streams in the desert, for example, in the book of Isaiah, and great transformations coming about in the created order when Messiah is present, often under the symbol of the branch. And yet in the New Testament, it is also clearly spelled out. Jesus, in chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, speaks about what he calls the palingenesia, the regeneration of planet Earth. Now, the regeneration of planet Earth makes complete sense if you believe the account of the cursing of the earth for Adam's sake in Genesis chapter 3. Remember that God cursed the earth there, and you can read about it. And he says that in the sweat of your brow you're going to work the ground, and it's going to yield to you thorns and thistles. And it certainly has done that. Well, thorns and thistles are not part of the original plan of God. And so when Jesus, the Savior, comes back, he is going to come back in his glorified body as the Lord of Lords and as the King of Kings. And he's going to also come back as the Prince of Peace, and he will bring peace, a true shalom, to the earth. That peace will work its way through the entire fabric of creation. Back to the weather patterns and the disturbances of the earth's crust, into the animal kingdom, also into the human hearts. And he will set up a reign of peace and righteousness and justice on the earth, the kind of thing that utopians have been seeking and have never been able to achieve. But in the book of Romans, we have an interesting passage here. I think I've spoken about it before, but we're going to quickly go over it, because it links the transformation of the physical world with the second coming of the risen Christ. And so let's have a quick look at it. It's in Romans 8, and it starts in verse 18. It runs the way through to verse 25. Paul says this. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, that's all the different difficulties and troubles and tribulations that the saints go through, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The word glory has the idea of weight, and a weight of wonder and transformation and splendor that awaits us, and in contrast to which our troubles right now are called by Paul in 1 Corinthians a light affliction. Doesn't seem very light, but it is in comparison to what's coming. And he says this, for the creation, the physical world, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The revealing of the sons of God is the transformation that we've already looked at. When Jesus comes, we will be changed. We will be like him, for we'll see him like he is. That's the transformation he's talking about. For the creation was subjected to futility, subjected to bringing forth thorns and thistles and all of the things that it brings forward, all of the dysteleology that's in the world. It was subjected to that. It says, not willingly, and not for its own sake, but because of him who subjected it in hope. When God cursed the earth, he also gave Adam and Eve hope. It was cursed for their sake because of their disobedience to God and their misuse of the earth. Remember that God told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did eat of the fruit of that tree, and therefore the earth out of which that tree grew was cursed for Adam's sake. And Adam himself returned to the earth, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, that we're all familiar with. But it says here that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There's corruption all around. And yet when Jesus comes back, the resurrected, glorified, imperishable Lord of creation, when he comes back, he is going to set creation free. The animal kingdom, the trees, the plants. He's going to, the one who stopped diseases, the one who was responsible for uttering, peace be still to the wind and the waves, and there was a wonderful calm. He will bring that kind of peace to the whole realm of creation and set up his kingdom within this world. And so at that time, he says that the creation is waiting for the deliverance or the change that will happen to the children of God. We've spoken about that. Paul says that Christ is the first fruits, but at the second coming, those who have trusted in Christ, they also will be changed to be like him. And then Paul says this in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth, figurative of course, until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we've got a down payment because we've received the Holy Spirit. If we've trusted in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. That's what it means by being born again. And it says that we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. What is this adoption? There it is. The redemption of the body. Our souls have been redeemed. Our bodies, not so much right now, but they will be. And if we go to the grave and our bodies moulder in the grave and so on, they'll be resurrected. Or God will just make some other bodies from some other earth. It doesn't matter which earth our bodies are made from. It's all the same stuff. And if not, then we'll be changed at the time that he returns. But the redemption of the body is the resurrection of the body, clearly. And he says, for in this hope we're saved. This is something that we're saved to. This is something that we look forward to. It's not just that Jesus died on the cross and we have our sins taken out of the way. It's that Jesus also rose from the dead and we also will rise. That's the hope that we're saved in. And so this whole passage here is speaking about the fact that when Jesus comes back, that will trigger off a resurrection of all of those who are in Jesus, all of those who have trusted in Jesus and been declared righteous by the justice of God. They will be raised, and then, well, they won't be raised into a world full of thorns and thistles and wild beasts and diseases and all of the rest of it. awful weather patterns and tsunamis and earthquakes, they will be raised, and then the environment, the world itself, will be controlled by the presence of the King of the world, the King of Earth. He is the one who will suppress the horrid instincts of the beasts and the animal kingdom. He's the one who will get rid of the parasites and get rid of the ticks and the fleas and all the rest of the things that the fall has brought about. He is the one who will change the environment. So I hope that you can see that the resurrection of Jesus doesn't just involve our physical resurrection. It also involves the resurrection of the whole planet, the transformation of the whole planet, so that it becomes a fit environment for the sons and the daughters of God. This is something that Jesus will do when he returns. It's because he cares for the physicality of the world. In the Christian worldview, the material world is not second best. It's absolutely what God wants. We've been made physical and spiritual beings, and the physical and the spiritual are not opposed to one another, like in Greek thought, but they go together, they dwell together, they work together, or ought to and will do, when Jesus returns. And so that's what we're waiting for. So the last prayer of the Bible is my prayer here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.